Who says that they take time off in high school athletics? You won't hear anybody in this studio saying that anytime soon. Those guys are always hard after it. And one of those guys, always hard after it, joining us on the hotline right now, we've got Tim Street, the Director of Communications with the OHSAA, joining us. Tim, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Andy. Thanks for having me on. And you're right, there is no more downtime anymore, it seems like.
Well, no, and I mean, if you take a look at the OHSAA website, you guys had a very, very full week last week. A lot going on, a lot of things to tell everyone about. And I think the first thing I'd like to begin with here, Tim, is the divisional realignment of the fall sports. It had been talked about for a couple of weeks, and it was announced last week. It doesn't affect a ton of teams in this area, but it does affect a few. It certainly sparked some responses statewide. What was the primary reason behind the realignment for the fall sports?
Well, we do that every 2 years, and that is a function of our Constitution, where we gather new enrollment data from the Ohio Department of Education, and that determines what division all of the member schools are in. And it's interesting because I kind of forget sometimes, but because it's a big process in our world here. It takes months of work. You know, we work hand-in-hand with Ohio Department of Education to get those enrollment numbers, and our staff pours through those and make sure everything is accurate as we can possibly get it. I forget, though, that, you know, there's some schools, like the largest schools out there, they know they're going to be Division One, and the smallest schools out there, they know they're going to be in the smallest division. But for a lot of those schools that are in the middle and right on the edge, they are always kind of on pins and needles waiting to see what division they're going to be in. But it's every 2 years we do that, and this year was very, very interesting because now for the first time, we have competitive balance data that is infused into those school enrollment numbers in selected sports. So in the fall, it's just soccer, volleyball, and football. And that has certainly played a role in deciding what divisions that teams will be in moving forward.
Now, because we're on that topic, I want to touch on something very quickly here because it does certainly affect basketball also because basketball is the only OHSAA winter sport that's affected by the competitive balance regulation. So I guess I have a couple of questions that go along with that. The first would be, for those who maybe aren't familiar with what all goes in to the competitive balance regulation, if you could kind of expand on that and talk about the competitive balance regulation and really kind of expand on that and explain what that is exactly and what all goes into that.
Yeah, sure, I'd be happy to. And I'll give you the short version, Andy, and then you can follow up if there's a particular area, because you could talk for an hour about what all goes into competitive balance. It can be pretty confusing. But long story short, about actually 8 or 9 years ago, a group of public school superintendents began an initiative and a petition to separate OHSAA tournaments into divisions for public schools and divisions for private schools. It was actually the third time in our 110-year history that a petition had begun for that, and we've made it clear all through our history, and we had to really be adamant about it again, is that the OHSAA does not think that that is the best thing for high school sports in Ohio. And I know that some people won't agree with that, and some people certainly have reasons why they disagree with that, but we think that the unintended consequences for that happening would be significant. It would cause more harm than good, honestly, if we would separate the tournaments into public and private. So we began a program called Competitive Balance, that it took us four times to finally pass it, but our member schools did pass it by referendum vote back in 2014. And basically what that does is, for the selected sports that it applies to, we have schools give us their roster data in 9 through 12, grades 9 through 12, and if kids are, for long story short, a recent move-in into a district, or they open enrolled into a district, or if they attend a non-public school and they did not go to that system of education throughout junior high, for example, if a student did not go to a parochial junior high and then they go all of a sudden to a parochial high school, well, those kids are going to count more than just a one. Those kids could count as a two or as a four or as a five. It depends on the sport. So what that does is it makes your enrollment number go up. And then, in turn, then a lot of those schools move up a division. And so that's the idea. That is the basic philosophy of competitive balance. Like I said, our member schools passed that by a referendum vote a few years ago. And so now, finally, it is coming into play. So in the 2017-18 school year, we've already announced the divisional alignments for the fall sports. We just last week announced them for basketball. That's another competitive balance sport, as you mentioned. And so we're seeing the result of all that work, and schools are now seeing what division they're going to be in, and some schools are moving up a division because of competitive balance.
Well, that's it's an excellent explanation, because it makes a heck of a lot more sense to me now than it did before. the other question I had as far as that goes is, I mean, obviously it covers a healthy chunk of fall sports, but in basketball, in the winter sports, basketball is the only one affected by that. Why aren't more winter sports affected by that?
Yeah, good question. And honestly, the tough one that we looked at was wrestling. You know, would competitive balance affect wrestling? And maybe someday it will. Quite a few of our winter sports that only have one division. For example, ice hockey is only a one-division sport. Same thing with gymnastics. Basketball was the key sport that we looked at in the wintertime as far as needing competitive balance, because there are a lot of smaller high schools that do dominate. And people have reached out to us for years saying, you know, why don't we look at the rosters of those smaller schools and, of course, to use their words, do something about it. And we don't really look at it that way, but we do certainly see that there is a big difference between public and non-public schools. They're similar in so many ways, but they do have differences. And there are a lot of non-public schools that their roster is comprised of kids that come from multiple counties. There was a team in our basketball state tournament a few years ago, and their kids came from five different counties. That is a lot different than your local public school where everyone is in the same town. So we zeroed in on basketball for our winter sport. And again, like I said, we could add sports later on, but for now we just wanted to focus on basketball and get this into place, see how it works, and we might add some sports down the road.
Tim Street, Director of Communications with the OHSAA, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We can just go back to wrestling for just one second, then we'll move on to football. But obviously high school wrestling is huge, not only in this area, but in most areas across the state. Last week's changes were announced, and of course you kind of hit on some of those already, but what can you tell us about these changes as they pertain to wrestling?
Well, not a whole lot has changed in terms of the makeup of wrestling. We have three divisions in both the individual tournament and the dual team tournament. Those will stay the same. We've had three divisions in all those for quite a while. So the new divisional alignments, though, are now out. And so what schools can do is look on our website and see, okay, here's the school's base enrollment number for the next two-year cycle, and here's where the divisional breakdowns are for wrestling. And so that way schools will know what division they're in. Wrestling doesn't have as many changes as some of the other sports because wrestling right now is not a competitive balance sport.
Well, we can transition now into Friday nights, which I know, boy, here we are June 12th. I mean, it seems like it's so far away, but you and I know better. High school football will be here before we know it. We're looking
at
about, two and a half months away, so it's coming. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the biggest announcements that you guys made last week, really, it revolves around all these Friday night football playoff games. I know in the past there have been some games played on Saturdays, but the OHSAA made the decision to play every single division on Friday night, so there are no more Saturday contests. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a good question, and a lot of folks have asked that question because it is a pretty significant change. And the football playoffs started back in 1972, And we've always had some games on Saturday night for various reasons. But the last few years, Andy, the attendance for Saturday playoff games has really gone down. And there's some reasons for that, the biggest reason being the proliferation of college football games on Saturday nights. You know, that's just the way it is now. And of course, the big ivory tower down the street here from us, Ohio State University, they love playing at night, which is great. You know, they love to do that. They certainly have the right to do that, but that really impacts anything else that goes on in the state. And, of course, in November, that's high school football playoff time. So with the decrease in attendance the way it's been on Saturdays and the last few years in particular, we have a hard time getting sights on Saturday night. A lot of people don't realize that. We don't own any stadiums in Ohio. We are basically renting stadiums around the state for our playoff games. And more sites have told us, hey, give us a game on Friday night, but we can't host a game on Saturday night for a few different reasons. Could be other things happening on their school campus, but a lot of them recently, last couple of years, they've said, I can't get enough workers on Saturday night, whether it's people going to the Ohio State game or other local college games or other reasons. So when that rose to the front burner as far as sometimes we just were having a hard time getting enough sites, that's when we said, boy, we really got to look at this as far as moving more divisions or all divisions on to Saturday night. We ran it by the Football Coaches Association. They loved it because that allows them to keep on their normal weekly schedule of practicing on their normal routine during the week, and then they play on Friday. It turns out, too, that a lot of their kids obviously are going to college games, also making visits on Saturday. It allows them to do that. So it just ended up being a win-win situation. And from my chair, I was concerned about the impact it would have on media coverage. And, of course, radio stations just like yours that do so many high school games during the season and during the playoffs, I wondered how that would affect them. Well, in fact, when this idea came up a few years ago, I was not in favor of it because there are so many outlets that will cover multiple games in a weekend. This affects that. However, just looking at the attendance data on Saturdays that was so poor the last few years, it kind of ended up outweighing the potential media impact. And actually, a few media outlets have even said here in the past week that they actually liked it because they get more access to time, to space in the newspaper, to various things on Saturday mornings following your Friday night game than what they get on Sunday. So, you know, there's pros and cons, and there's some people that won't like that change. But, you know, we said, hey, we got to try it at least for this year, and then we'll see what happens.
And I think it's interesting, too, when you take a look at some of the options, and I know you guys have explored all of these, as far as trying to schedule games that, well, you don't really know who's going to play who. You don't know who's going to play at what time. At least now you know that everything can be put together on Friday night, which is a night I think most places have set aside for high school football anyways. But I think there are some folks out there that maybe enjoy that atmosphere on a Saturday. You mentioned Saturday nights, and that can always be a tough draw because, like it or not, college football is a realistic source of competition, especially when you get into the first couple of weeks of November. I mean, there are some big-time college football games going on with major implications, and I think Saturday during the day, and I know you guys have explored that option. I'm going to throw this one out there. And I know for a fact that you'll probably tell me why this one won't work Thursday nights, but I'm sure coaches around this area are probably punching their radios when I suggest that right now because it gives them one less day to prepare. But how realistic do you think those potential suggestions are? I know you guys have explored those, but like, what are the biggest drawbacks to those two options, either Saturday during the day or Thursday at night?
Well, you know, the Saturday during the day, that one is more likely to be a scenario that could get some games. In fact, I was talking to Skip Mossick with Ohio State Radio Network earlier today about another matter, and he asked me that. He said, will there be any games on Saturday? And I said that, well, there could be a few because there are some cities around the state that multiple schools share the same stadium. It happens in Cincinnati. It happens in Tiffin. It happens in Youngstown. And there's others as well, Mansfield. So you could see if both schools that play in that stadium make the playoffs and host a game, it could be that one of them has to play on Saturday afternoon. So you could still see that scenario. The Thursday night scenario, I think, has a lot less likelihood of happening, as you predicted, I might say. But, you know, a big reason for that is it is a school night. We try, if possible, to keep our tournaments that have this kind of magnitude, and especially in a full contact sport like football where the kids are going to potentially be in school the next day, that we try to stay away from that. We do have one state championship game on a Thursday night. That's not ideal, but Dr. Ross really wants to stay off of Sunday, I'm sorry, if he can. So our state championships go Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But, you know, the other thing about the first two rounds of the playoffs in football is that for the first two rounds of the football playoffs, we also have our tournaments going on in soccer and volleyball, and those games are on Thursday. So a football game on Thursday would certainly impact our schools in a more negative way than a Saturday afternoon. So between those two, you got a better chance of some games being on Saturday afternoon.
Certainly understood. That all makes plenty of sense. Well, Tim, we appreciate the time. As always, I feel like we could have gone on for at least another half hour, but I know you're busy. You've got some things you got to get going. So thanks, as always, for spending some time with us, and we'll definitely have you on again a couple of times before we really get going with the high school football season, which, again, is only a couple of months away.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Andy. Thanks for having me on anytime.